Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm so high on the Rockets.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Luke Morrow is in. Tyler Milner's on the ones and twos. Appreciate everybody out there listening to The Drive any way that you can. Tuning in to Houston Sport Leaders, Sports Leaders, Sports Radio 610. Whether you're listening on that AM dial, old school, or you're on that FM HD2 dial, appreciate that 100.3 HD2. That's how I listen. Or your YouTube and Twitch. We greatly appreciate everybody watching the video stream as well. But also, I want to encourage everybody out there, that Audacy app, AUDACY. Download that Audacy app. Keep it on your hip. Take us everywhere that you go. The Rockets, boys. The Rockets played last night. They got one more preseason game before they crank this thing up. I believe that's correct, right, Luke? They got one more preseason game.
Yes, sir.
But they played the New Orleans Pelicans last night, and they won 130-128. Not a lot of defense being played right there, but this game, it actually was, had a lot of, I mean, there was some physicality and some defense. Not that I'm a NBA preseason aficionado. I've not watched a ton of preseason NBA action, so I don't know what it typically looks like. But I know last night for the Rockets, the plan was to treat it as much like a regular season game as you can a preseason game, if that makes sense. That was the approach for the coach and for the squad. And they kept their starting lineup out there a little bit longer, I think, than they typically do. And last night, Luke, they went with the big lineup. Amen Thompson, obviously KD, Jabari Smith Jr., Alpi Shingun, and Adams. You know, that big lineup, or that double big lineup that they call it, and which they got a lot of run out of last year, is really, really good for them. I gotta imagine this year that with Capella in the mix, I gotta imagine they may even lean into it a little bit more. I mean, wouldn't you think, Luke?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the whole offseason was kind of built around with the pieces they brought in. They focused more on size and those forwards than they did the guards. So I think, they're going all in on this idea of this big lineup.
Two guys stood out last night. I mean, it was a good night for the Rockets overall with the starters playing the end of the second half. But the Amen Thompson had a solid evening. 21 points, 5 rebounds, and 24 minutes of work.
I feel like Kobe.
I think the big thing that stuck out for Amen Thompson last night, so much so that the commentators mentioned it multiple times, free throws and three-point percentage. Last night he was 7 of 7 from the free throw line. And he was 2 of 3. I believe he was 7 of 7. Did he get a couple more? I know he's 100%.
Yeah, 9 of 9.
9 of 9. So he did get 2 more. So as he was making 8 and 9, as when they were having this conversation, he was 100% from the free throw line. Looked very, very comfortable, obviously. And from the 3-point line, he was 2 of 3. And I literally saw 2 of those. One he missed, and one that went in. He looks a lot more comfortable, you know, setting his feet and stroking the basketball. So. I don't know what that means moving forward, but it was a good night for him. 2 struggles last year, struggle points for him last year where he shot it better and seemed to be more comfortable last night. And then also Jabari Smith Jr. had him a night. 22 minutes, 26 points, 4 of 10 from the three-point line. He was actually was shooting a higher percentage from the three-point line earlier in the game. He missed a couple late, but he had a good night and kind of stood out on the floor. And that's where I want to start with this, Luke. And I know you cover him closely. And I feel like Jabari Smith Jr. is a guy that doesn't get the love and respect that he deserves. We spent a lot of time, and I thought it was last year because there was a lot of, call it controversy, whatever you want. Should this guy play? Should that guy play? How many minutes should he get? Should he be, you know, should he be your predominant ball, ball guy or what? And I thought this last year. I just remember when I'm watching the Rockets, I'm like, we don't talk about Jabari Smith. And I felt that last night. I'll be damned if the first preseason action that I watched, you know, at length, if I'm not sitting there going, Jabari's the one that really, you talk about spacing the floor and knocking down shots and all the other stuff that his big frame brings to the floor. Isn't he the one that's a much bigger piece of this than I know what I've and you know what we've allotted time to talk about the Rockets. It seems like he's always on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is a much bigger piece of this as I'm watching him than maybe our conversations would suggest.
Yeah, I think he will be. I mean, props to B. Scott, who we'll catch up with later on. But when I was talking with him last week, he kind of put me on that idea of watch Jabari. He has already, you know, B. Scott was saying Jabari Smith has already improved so much in terms of like creating and finding his own shot instead of a year ago where he needed more help from others to kind of set him up. Now right. He's and look, this was the big thing when they brought in Durant, of people pointing to the fact of like these two work out together. This is going to be a huge benefit for Jabari Smith. And so I think quietly or in a sneaky fashion, he could be the one that takes. We're talking about a man needing to take this step forward in Alpi, but yeah, it could be Jabari Smith. And I think the other part of it all too is when you bring in a Durant. I remember a former big league baseball player told me that, you know, sometimes when you finally give that guy their big contract, it just takes that load off their weight. They don't have to worry about it anymore. They could go out there, play a little looser, and be even better.
Yeah.
And I think it could be similar here that when you bring in Durant, for all these guys in the Rockets team, that you know, like, when you need a bucket, you have that guy now in Kevin Durant. And so I think it allows everyone else to relax a little bit, maybe not press as much or have as much pressure on them, and you can play a little looser, play more of your game, and that's where I think Jabari Smith, but the other guys as well, can improve just in that sense of, like, you don't have to worry so much about or work so hard to get a basket because shot clock's winding down or end of the game. You know you have that guy, and there's just that confidence that can make you more comfortable on the offensive end as well.
Well, I mean, that's clear with KD. I mean, that's one other thing you watching last night. I mean, that just when he's working that elbow-to-elbow free throw line area and he's got his back to the basket and he can turn and shoot over anybody, and it just seems so effortless for him. It is so, I mean, like as a fan watching, like, I love the guys that we've had, all these youngsters that have come through here. But everything is so damn difficult. You know what I mean? Like last year watching the Rockets, loved watching the run. I love the physicality and the hustle and the defense and love it. Everything's so damn difficult,
mm-hmm.
right? And KD goes out there. There's a certain level of effortlessness. As I'm speaking, he's shooting the old Dirk Nowitzki knee in the chest fadeaway, right? But, I mean, it's just – there it is. That's the one I watched. But it just seems like it's just so damn easy. To your point is it's got to take the pressure off of everybody else. We spend so much time, though, Luke, and just to put a bow on this thing, we spend so much time talking about the development of Amen Thompson, the development of Reed Shepherd. Can Reed Shepherd be a guy that can just be a spot-up shooter and be dead-eye, right? All these guys. And in reality, if we're talking about development and how certain guys developing can help this team, then sure, that's where the conversation should go. But I look at Jabari Smith as, to your point, yes, a guy that has developed, but I look at him as more just a guy. If he's on the floor and does what he does well, he makes this team better. Last year, he had to fight for minutes. Last year, he had to fight for starts. Last year it was tough for him to get on the floor, and it just seems like, once again, I turned on last night and watched 20 minutes of Rockets basketball, and I'm like, I can get down with this Jabari Smith guy. By the way, are we buying or selling Skinny Zion? Did you watch any of that game last
night? Yeah.
He looks good, but it doesn't look right. I need fluffy Zion back out there.
Till they start losing and he needs some comfort food, I'm buying.
Yeah, no, he's a yo-yo. He's going to put the weight back
on. Oh, what a mess. I mean, you put him with a weight problem in New Orleans. Boy, that's a recipe for disaster. All right, D'Amico Ryans, head coach of the Houston Texans, he spoke yesterday post-bye week. He spoke directly about the biggest obstacle for the Texans come Monday night versus Seattle. We'll tell you what that is next right here on Sports Radio 610.